G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show.
G'day and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 150. I'm your guest host, Lou Collins, and also Graham's wife. Today, we celebrate the 150th episode and are going to catch up with the man that started it all, Graham Curry. Well, Graham, it's been quite a ride for you these past few years. Now you're the best-selling author of a book, The Fasting Highway, a successful podcaster with a million downloads, and the creator of a very lovely Facebook community, The Fasting Highway. Welcome to the podcast. How does it feel to have an introduction like that, darling?
Yeah, a bit humbling, Lou, and thank you for stepping into the host chair today. I couldn't think of anybody better to do the 150. You've been there the whole way, and I thank you for all the support and help you've given. But yeah, it's pretty humbling actually when you hear that. And as far as introductions go, you get some sort of crazy ones. I was on a podcast once with a headless music going. The next thing I heard this, and now we're going to talk to the thunder from down under, the crocodile Dundee of fasting. And I was like, just started laughing. It was in hysterics. And I had to ask them to cut it out because it sounded so naff. But yeah, it is humbling and it has been quite a ride, Lou. Mm.
Well, let's start at the beginning with a quick recap for those people who may not know about your own journey and how things have evolved with the Fasting Highway.
Yeah, well, as far as my own journey goes, it's pretty well documented out there. As people want to go back, there's a couple of episodes on this podcast. Lou did episode 26, where we talked about my story more in depth. You can get my book, The Fasting Highway, that you can read more in depth about that. But yeah, to cut it short, I was a life of very poor nutrition and poor choices, which led to me being 160 kilos, 350 pounds. I was a chronic sugar fast food addict. I was a closet eater, which led to a lot of things in my life that were hard to sort of talk about and write about, including things like depression, low self-esteem, quite a few different sort of health issues that were nagging me. And then I came to a point where I just thought I'd had enough. And I was sitting next to this woman beside me, Lou, on the plane in Sydney. And I just thought, oh, I love her so much and I need to do something about this because I want to be around with her for a long time. And so the first thing I had to do was get rid of my sugar and fast food addiction before I tried anything else, because that was the biggest problem I had. And I sort of started talking about my closet eating issues, and I found that very freeing. I went through a detox period. And then I sort of looked around for something that was sustainable. And then I came to intermittent fasting in early 2018. It was purely by accident. I just stumbled across it researching on the internet one day. I read some of Jim Stevens' stuff and it sort of resonated with me. I also thought it was kind of crazy, the idea of eating once a day, but the more I read about it, the more it made sense. And what I really loved about it was the simplicity of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's your intermittent fasting protocol now compared to when you first started all those years ago?
Well, when I first started, I was doing what's called a 23-in-1, and I didn't choose that for any other reason than it just fitted in with what I did. And I think that's important when you choose a protocol to do that, to make it fit life. And for me, I got home from work at 5 o'clock, so that was a good opportunity. I'd go to the office, I'd fast all day, I'd come home, and I'd eat between 5 and 6pm. And I was pretty laser focused on getting the weight off. So I didn't really change that. It was working for me. I even went through a 3-month sort of weight loss stall, if you like, And I just sort of kept trusting the process. Then after 15 months, I got this sort of 132 pounds or 60 kilos off my body. And I think that was pretty a freeing experience.
Yeah. Okay. So now that you're fast forward nearly 5 years into your intermittent fasting journey, what is it about intermittent fasting that has been able to let you stick to the program? How has it been sustainable for you?
Well, yeah, as we were just talking about, the simplicity of it, really. Just fasting is so simple in terms of what it actually is, because you're fasting for a period of time and then you're eating in a pattern of time also. So you're either fasting or you're feasting in your day. And for me, that made a lot of sense. And I thought, well, I could do that. All I have to do is delay in the day when I eat. And at first, I found the fasting reasonably easy. So that wasn't really a problem for me. But it was just adjusting to the actual way you eat and what you eat and when you eat. That sort of took a bit of work. But the actual process of getting my head around it in the beginning was pretty simple.
Okay. Now, I remember in the early days going around the aisles of the supermarket with you, trying to work out the sugar levels in food and what we were eating and what we weren't eating. And it's vastly different what we ate back then to what we eat today. And you were a chronic sugar and a fast food addict. And I just want you to explain to everyone or tell us a bit about how you've managed to keep that at bay. And if you have any advice for people who may have a fast food or sugar addiction?
Well, my advice, I've talked about it before, is simply if you have a problem with sugar addiction or fast food addiction or any type of food addiction or maybe alcohol, whatever, you've got to cut it off at the knees. And for me, it's all or nothing. I mean, a lot of people say, well, sugar, well, you know, you can cut down or you can sort of try and eat less sugar and all that. But it's a bit like giving an alcoholic 3 beers instead of 12. You're still an alcoholic. So I decided I was just going to do it cold turkey, and I would advise anybody out there just to stop the behavior. That's the first thing. Like if you're going into the drive-thru, like I was doing at fast food stores 3-4 times a day, stop doing it. And sometimes it takes some radical steps. I remember even going to the sort of lengths of not even carrying money on me so I couldn't buy it because I couldn't feed the addiction that I had until I can get that out of my body. And once I started getting sugar and fast food out of my body, everything started to become easier. So, yeah, my advice is if you've got those problems, before you even think about going to intermittent fasting, deal with them first. Because if you go into intermittent fasting, it makes it very difficult because you've got the double whammy of trying to do two very radical things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. When was the last time you went through a fast food?
I haven't been in a fast food store drive-through for nearly 4 years now. When you think about that, and if you me, I was a guy that was going through them 3-4 times a day. That would be on a good day, probably some other days, maybe more. So that's how much I was addicted to those places. But now I don't even see them. I just drive past them. I don't think about it. They're totally sort of out of my sort of, you know, off my radar. And yeah, it's been very freeing not to be able to be drawn into them like I was.
Mm, great. What surprised you about intermittent fasting, apart from your weight loss?
I think the sustainability of it really has been the long-term surprise. I mean, at the start, you think, okay, I'm going to do something to try and lose weight like everything else. And then when you see that it's so different to any other sort of form of diet or anything like that, and it's not a diet as we know, it's a lifestyle. So the longer you live this lifestyle, you can see that it's sustainable. And then you can get to a pathway of once you get the weight off and you start maintaining, you've got to switch that mindset around again. But then you can see that you then have the tools of intermittent fasting to be able to control your weight so much better than where we're all on the yo-yo dieting circuit.
Mm, okay. And I get asked this question a bit about you. Have you ever felt like not doing intermittent fasting anymore, just giving it away and going back to your old lifestyle?
Certainly not going back to my own lifestyle, but old lifestyle, I should say. But, you know, people often ask me, well, what happens when I get the weight off if I don't want to continue doing intermittent fasting? Well, for me personally, I know that if I stopped doing intermittent fasting totally tomorrow, And then I just started eating three times a day and plus a couple of snacks. Even if I was eating healthy, good, whole food in that three meals a day, I would likely regain the weight fairly quickly, purely by the volume that I'd be eating. And also for me, I just love the way I feel when I fast. And to me, it's fasting is a bit like giving your organs a free car wash every day. And it's the energy and the clarity and just the way I feel and how it makes me feel. And I'm not full and stuffed from food all day. So I don't want to go back to that. But no, I've never really thought about going back to three meals a day and snacks and that. But I know what would happen if I did.
Okay. You know, I think I know what would happen as well. I like you the way you are now, darling. Let's tell us a little bit about the book, your book that you wrote, The Fasting Highway. Tell us a bit about the why. Why did you write that book and why did you start the Facebook group, which is now followed by thousands and thousands of people around the world?
Yeah, well, I guess once I got the weight off, and for me, it was a credibility thing that I had to sort of say to myself, well, I've got to prove I can keep this weight off. And one of my things was I was so excited about what intermittent fasting had done for me and how it regenerated my health in so many ways, aside from the weight loss as well. I thought, I've really got to try and get this message out somehow. So how do I do that? And so I thought, well, one of the ways I can do that is document it in a book. And it was also a freeing experience for me too, to talk about things like my closet eating, sort of the bullying and stuff I'd gone through at school, the life I had that was sort of ruined a lot really by my obesity. And I missed out on a lot of opportunity. There was a lot of things in my life that I didn't achieve because of how obese I became. And a lot of it was sad. I spent a lot of sad times in my car eating and that sort of thing. So I needed to talk about that and to show people that there was a way out of despair when you are like that. And there's millions of people around the world that are very morbidly obese and they think that the mountain's too high to climb and they can't get out of it. So I thought, well, if I put it down on paper and I document it in the form of a book, then, you know, somebody out there might pick it up. They might get motivated to get started. And for me, when I put the book out, I thought to myself, you know, if this inspires one or two people out there or a few more to be able to get going on their journey, great. But yeah, as it turned out, it's been a bit of a surprise packet. I never realized how my story was going to resonate with thousands of people in all corners of the globe. And there's not a week that goes by that I don't get messages from people saying how much they've resonated with the book, what they've got from it, how they resonated with my story, where they were, and they talked to me about, you know, how they felt that they were in a sort of dark place and they couldn't get out of it. But by reading the book, they were able to see that a normal, everyday person like me, and I'm not a celebrity, I'm not anybody really, I'm just Graham Curry, I'm just a normal person. And I think that they could relate to that. And so that's why I wrote the book. But then in terms of the Facebook group and the podcast, I started a podcast too because the same reason. I thought, well, if somebody can listen to not only my story, but other people's story and a diverse range of people, people from all backgrounds, people from all countries, people that do different fasting protocols. We've had people that do 16 and 8, 18 and 6, you name it, ADF, extended fasting, alternate day fasting, modified ADF. There's so many of them these days. And hearing those people's stories and hearing them relate, and when you hear them in real time, it's very uplifting hearing people's stories, and you can really relate to them and you can hear the emotion in their voice and how they relay their journey. So I think then people listening to them every week, they can get somebody that was in some sort of dark place where they were with their health and their weight, and they can see that intermittent fasting can help them. So I think that's one of the reasons I started the podcast, and just to sort of get people's messages out as well.
Okay. I think that anyone that's ever listened to you or crossed your path in any way, whether it be the podcast or the Facebook group or face-to-face or via reading your book, your humbleness really shines through, darling. And I think that the fact that you say, I'm just an ordinary person, I don't think that you are. I think you're a very special person because you put yourself out there and you're helping thousands of people around the world. And I'm terribly proud of you for that.
Yeah, look, thanks, Lou. It's nice of you to say that. And you do put yourself out there, and I never realized I was going to have thousands of people follow me from all around the world and various social media platforms. I was never a big person on social media before I started all this, and yeah, I guess it's kind of strange, and I guess that's a double-edged sword, because with the bouquets come brickbats as well. Not everybody's going to love you. They're not going to love what you do. They might not agree with what you say. And so, you know, I get people that troll me and that sort of thing, and get messages sometimes that aren't very nice, or you get reviews on something that, from people generally that don't even read or listen to what you do. They just want to be nasty. So you've got to be prepared for that. But the overwhelming majority of feedback has been unbelievably fantastic. You know, what really thrills me is when I see people with pictures of my book in all corners of the globe. You know, people in snow and on top of mountains. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. A guy, Keith McDonald in Canada, a good friend of mine now, Keith, and he had my book on top of a mountain. And I thought, what a magnificent thing to do. I mean, to take my book up to the top of a mountain and go to that effort. Then I've had people that, you know, showed me pictures of them reading it at the beach or sitting on the subway in New York, a lady running through the mountains in Kenya, taking a break, reading my book, somebody walking across Europe on one of the trails, reading my book. All those sorts of things are so heartwarming. And when I get those messages, it's very thrilling, and it makes you sort of want to go on and help more people.
I think if you ever want to make Graeme's day, just take a photo of yourself with his book somewhere, because he gets such a thrill when he gets those photos. He really appreciates them. So tell us, what has been the biggest challenge for producing a weekly podcast? Because you have a full-time job as well, Graeme.
Yeah, I do. And sometimes I think there's never enough hours in a day. But, you know, I guess the biggest challenge with the podcast as it's grown, I mean, over 1 million downloads is... That blows your mind as well. I often look out in the 5-acre paddock that we have here and I think, imagine 1 million people sitting here and me talking and them listening and listening to the guest stories as well. And that's pretty overwhelming at times. I mean, you know, we get thousands of people every week. The biggest challenge, I guess, is sometimes technology challenges, you know, and doing it all myself, the editing and everything else, it can be quite an expensive business. And the time factor is quite a challenge as well. I know, Lou, you've been very patient about that. I've jumped out of bed on the Saturday and Sunday morning in the early hours to sort of try and talk to people in different countries because of time zones. And I think you've been so lovely about that. And so the family time has been a lot. But, yeah, it's an expensive exercise, but we're working on trying to get ways around that.
So can you tell everyone about some future directions for you and the Fasting Highway?
Yeah, well, I've got some really exciting things ahead, actually, and something I'm really looking forward to, and I think it's going to be a big help to a lot of people. But I guess the Facebook group community, I'd suggest anybody out there listening that wants to get some help, come to the Facebook group. But for me personally, I'll be doing more involvement in things like mentoring, working with people one-on-one. We'll be running programs where people can come and fast with me for 30 days, that type of thing, and get a one-on-one experience and get going with that. So I guess I'll be going into the world of, you know, coaching, health and wellness, that sort of thing, and helping people that, you know, don't want to hang their laundry out on social media, because not everybody's on Facebook, not everybody's on Instagram. And if they are, you usually find if there's, say, 8,000 people in the group, well, 6,000 people might not ever say anything because they're too scared or they're too frightened, but they prefer to work with somebody one-on-one. So I'll be doing more of that, so stay tuned for that. And with the podcast, we're looking at doing things like Patreon, where we'll have a community of people that can sort of help with the podcast, because, you know, it is an expensive exercise and podcasters need support with that sort of thing. And maybe if I can get the right type of sponsor, I'll probably have a sponsor in the podcast. I'd like to keep it commercial free, but sometimes that's not a reality.
Okay. Exciting times ahead. It's going to be good. I can't wait. So another side of things that people may not know about you is that you've been selected from a group of applicants to be a research partner for a PhD student who's conducting some work on intermittent fasting for obesity control. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so the University of Western Australia put out a notice. They were looking for people to get involved in a study about time-restricted eating or intermittent fasting, as they called it. And they were looking for people basically to share their experiences. They were looking for a research partner, people that had some experience with intermittent fasting. So I decided to apply. I'm working with a PhD student down there, a brilliant young man. He's also been a GP in his own country. That's a medical doctor. And he's doing a study in IF and how it can be useful in treating obesity and getting that into the mainstream medical community. So what we've been doing, I'm a research partner with him. And so he's been interviewing people. And we're going on to talk to other stakeholders in the medical community. So it's a very exciting project, and it's good to see that it's being talked about in our teaching institutions, and I'm really glad to be a part of it.
Okay, that's going to be a fascinating one to follow. I can't wait to read the paper and hear all about the results. Right, now we've got some listener questions that people have sent in, and we'll just run through a few of them now and see what you think. So the first one is Mike from Perth. He has asked, "Does brushing my teeth at breakfast break my fast?" After
Brushing.
breakfast, not with breakfast, sorry.
Okay, so brushing your teeth and fasting. Yeah, look, it's a question that gets asked a lot in the communities, and it's sort of it's the same answer. Yes, brush your teeth, Mike. It's it's hygiene. Oral hygiene is very important. It's such a brief spike in your insulin. I mean, it's hardly noticeable. So I brush my teeth. We talked about this in a podcast with Jim Stevens back in episode 8 and also 108, I think it was. And we talked about, brushing our teeth, and both Jim and I do that. And so, yeah, brush your teeth because oral hygiene is super important.
Okay, so now we have a question from Renee in Florida. Have you considered testosterone replacement therapy? I was wondering how fasting increased growth hormones and added testosterone therapy increased health and vitality. I could
No,
nearly answer this one, Renee, but I'm not going to. I'm going to make him squirm and answer it.
well, I was going to say you could answer that one, Lou, but no, I hadn't considered that. Was never a problem I had when I was obese or when I'm not. If you like to hear somebody that did have an issue with that, Keith McDonald, I mentioned before in episode 50, I think it was, of the podcast. Keith had issues with his testosterone, and he found that intermittent fasting really revitalized his men's health in that respect. So you might want to take a listen. But in answer to your question, no, it was something I never considered.
No, we're very happy, Renee. Thank you. Okay. Julie from Onalaska in Wisconsin asks, you often talked about how you started to crave higher quality food. What exactly is a type of meal you crave?
Oh, look, when I talk about a higher quality food, I mean, I didn't have to go much higher to get higher quality from the base that I was when I came to intermittent fasting, as we were just talking about, coming off that base of chronic, sort of sugar and fast food addiction. So, I mean, you're at the bottom of the barrel when you're eating that sort of food all the time. And so it doesn't take much to go up. But for me, it was just getting fresh whole foods, nutrient dense foods. Something basically a typical day for me might be opening with some cheese and crackers, something like that, some tomato, maybe some cold meat. Then I'll just sort of wait for a while. I eat a lot of seafood, like chicken, fish, all really good foods, really. I steer clear, as we talked about, of the fast foods. Like people often ask me, don't you ever eat a burger? Don't you ever eat, pizza? And I say, yeah, well, I do, but Lou and I generally make those ourselves. We don't buy them. So we tend to sort of get the really good ingredients and make them. Lou likes to call them her McMummy burgers, which I can vouch are beautiful. So we use fresh patties, we use fresh, vegetables, and often we take things from our garden to put in those burgers, and we make our own pizzas. So we know what's in them. That's the thing. Like when you're making food, that you know what's in it. You can put all the best ingredients in it. So that's the higher quality. I'm not going down and getting the highly processed stuff that's, you know, getting a burger that's been made by 100 cows. I'm getting a burger that's been made by one cow. So that's the difference. And also just, you know, instead of some of the things that I was doing, it was just like instead of sugar and lollies and biscuits and cakes and all those sorts of things, which turned me into an obese man, I just found other things to have. I mean, I love salad and I love salmon. I love a beautiful piece of salmon through some salad, that type of thing. I love chicken, vegetables. Yeah, so it's just that higher quality. And as I said, it didn't take much to get up off that base.
Okay. So this sort of dovetails into the next question, and that's from Ryan in Auckland. And he asks, how did you stop eating so much fast food? I'm addicted.
Yeah, g'day, Ryan. So was I, mate, once. And yeah, I guess my short answer to that is just stop, mate. That's the simple answer. I know that sounds simplistic to say to people just stop, but it really is. That's just not going in there. That's just cutting yourself off from it, you know. And for those that have read my book, you'll read the stories about how I got around that, how I stopped carrying money on myself. And I couldn't buy it. Like, if I didn't have any money, and when I was an addict to fast food, I would always carry cash on me because I liked to hide the fact that I was going in there so many times. Because if you were tapping your card every time you went through the drive-through, you're going to have all these things coming up in your bank statements about going to McDonald's or, you know, one of the other fast food places. So yeah, to answer your question, just stop. That's the simple thing. And I know that when you're heavily addicted, that's really hard, but you've got to go through that withdrawal. So for me, it was a case of 3 weeks. It was like hell, and Lou will attest to this. You know, the sugar addiction as well. I spent 2 days in bed with a doona over my head trying to get through it. But I was determined just not to let these places take my life away. They were taking my life away. They were ruining my life. And I had to get out of them. So the only way I was going to do that was cut it off the pass and just stop. And eventually you'll get to that point where you just don't want to go there anymore.
Mm. Okay. Good luck, Ryan. Now we have Sarah from Sarasota, my pronunciation is not good, in Florida. She wants to know, have you got any advice for slow losers? I have 20 to 25 pounds to lose. Sarah, I hear you. I'm a bit of a turtle as well.
Yeah, look, Sarah, and g'day, and hope everybody there in Florida is okay. I know you've had a couple of pretty nasty sort of hurricanes there lately, so I wish everybody in Florida the best. Look, to answer your question, slow losers. What is a slow loser? Okay, so the average weight loss with intermittent fasting is about half a pound a week, right? So depending on how much weight you've got to lose, and you said about 20, 25 pounds, imagine if you were to just lose half a pound a week, which for some people doesn't sound a lot, but by the end of the year, you've lost that 25 pounds. And I mean, if intermittent fasting is a lifestyle to you and not a diet, and you're just not looking for a quick fix, then it doesn't really matter how long this is going to take. If it takes a year, if it takes 2 years to lose that 25 pounds and you pick up those other wellness things. And I think also it depends on how much weight you've got to lose as to how fast you'll lose it. I mean, if you were a guy like me that was, you know, 350 pounds or 160 kilos, then you're going to lose faster than a lot of other people. And I think if you're really, really obese, you're carrying a lot of inflammation, you might lose 10 pounds in the first 3 or 4 weeks. And then other people just simply don't. In fact, some people often gain weight in the first 3 or 4 weeks when they're actually trying to adapt and get into intermittent fasting. But yeah, as far as slow losing goes, I think it's you got to look at why, what's your why with this? I mean, you got to look at what's my fasting and what's my feasting looking like? Am I actually delaying anything, or am I one of these people that wants to eat everything and do intermittent fasting at the same time? Do I want to have my cake and eat it, so to speak? So this is where you've got to drill down into your own sort of, you know, what am I doing? Am I a clean eater? And if you're not losing and you're not getting the results, and there's other things you can look at. Are you insulin resistant? There's tests that you can get done for that. Maybe go to your doctor, get some blood tests done, talk with him. Maybe if you don't do any exercise at all, try that, even if it's just a short 10 minutes walk a day to start with and build up. But there are things that you can do to try and test out why you're losing slowly like that. But the important thing is not to compare yourself to others, because comparison's the thief of joy. And the last thing you want to do is compare yourself to someone like me that's lost, how many pounds I've lost, 132, to someone that's lost 25, because we're all different. None of us are the same, and some of us will lose faster than others. And unfortunately, that is really the way it is.
Okay. So we've got a question. John from Esperance wants to know, why can't I have cream in my coffee while fasting?
G'day, John. Look, mate, I know there's some talk in the intermittent fasting communities about, a certain medical person who's very famous in the fasting world says, you can have a splash of coffee or milk or cream in your coffee while you're fasting to use it as a crutch, if you like, to get through your fast. But what he's talking about there is he's talking about working with people that are 400 or 500 pounds, people that are going to die if they don't get that weight off. So he would rather see them do fasting and have that cream or milk in their coffee if they have to use it as a crutch. But he also clarifies that by going into saying that the ultimate is the clean fast. And for me, it's why interfere with that process? Why would you let a beverage interfere with what you're doing? I mean, why wouldn't you just let that natural clean fast take place? And for me, the clean fast is a bit like driving your body into a car wash every day, and all these little men come out and they start scrubbing away at your organs and cleaning them, your cells regenerate. And when you do have cream or something in your coffee or milk, what that does is it causes an insulin response. And then once you have that insulin response, your body then starts thinking that food's coming. And then you start craving food and you get hungrier and hungrier. And we've heard so many people in this 150 episodes of this podcast that have talked about switching over from that dirty fast to clean fasting and what a difference it's made and how much easier their fasting has become. So we're a great believer here at the Fasting Highway that the clean fast is the magic component of intermittent fasting. And so for me, having something that's going to make my fast a dirty one is not negotiable. I'm not going to do it.
Okay, that's a good answer. Well, I think that's about it from me today in terms of questions.
Yep.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add or have a chat about?
Yeah, look, I'd like to talk about the 150 episodes we've had of the Fasting Highway, and I'd like to thank all the guests that have been on it. We've had some amazing guests, Lou, people that have talked about all sorts of things. I guess the whole gambit's been talked about, really, the 16 and 8, the 21 and 3, all the types of OMAD that we do. ADF has been covered off. We've covered off so many things, but every story has been different. Every angle has been different of how people approach things. And this is what I'm talking about, alluding back to that question that lady was asking about the slow loser. I think you can't compare yourself, because when you hear so many journeys that are different, yet they all lead to the same conclusion. People finding autopilot wellness on the Fasting Highway. And yeah, I just wanted to thank all the listeners as well. Thank you for listening to the 150 episodes. But stay tuned. We've got some exciting things ahead, not only with this podcast, but with my own journey and going into some mentoring with health and wellness. And I'll give out some details soon how to contact me and get that going if you're interested. But anyway, thank you, Lou, for hosting. And I really wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the support and the love that you've given me. Absolutely nothing you see or hear from me would happen without Lou's support. I mean, she's been very patient. I can't tell you the number of times that I've jumped out of a warm bed on the Saturday morning and I thought, what am I doing? But for me, it was something I needed to do and something Lou's been very supportive of. And so I can't thank you enough, Lou, for everything you've done.
Well, right back at you, darling. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of everything that you've done, everything that you are doing for people all over the world. I always knew that this would end up being something pretty special, and it's a pretty special community that you've developed, and I think helping people is where you really shine. So I'm proud of you, darling. You've done a good job.
Yeah, I also just wanted to thank the Fasting Highway Facebook group community too. I mean, Lou and I started that, you know, a couple of years ago now, and it grew from 2 people to 8,000 in pretty quick sort of time. And so, yeah, it's people from all over the world have been joining that community, and we've got a really great vibe going there. And so, yeah, it's the moderators as well that keep that Facebook community going. And without moderators, we simply wouldn't be able to do it. So we have some great moderators in our group, highly experienced people. We've got a couple of moderators that are vastly experienced, not only in fasting, but alternate day fasting. So if you want to join and ask questions, they're there. And without them, we wouldn't get it going. But anyway, I'd like to thank everybody once again that's been listening. Thank everybody that's for being buying the book. And yeah, we'll leave it at that. Okay, Lou, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Lou, for hosting the 150th episode of the Fasting Highway podcast. You did a great job, as always, and once again, thank you for your love and support and everything that you've done to help get this community off the ground. And I just wanted to make sure everybody out there, you, the important part that you do play, and also our moderators in the Fasting Highway Facebook group, as we talked about. But anyway, folks, as mentioned, you can get my book on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle if you are interested in my own journey and get yourself going with your own intermittent fasting lifestyle. You'll find a lot of help in that and some motivation, I think. So, yeah, it's just a pretty simple to read book about a step-by-step guide without all the fluff and how to get going with intermittent fasting and how to make it sustainable. Anyway, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.